Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity, the leading podcast for residential service contractors, sponsored by Service Roundtable and hosted by David Heimer.
Hi, this is David Heimer. Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity. Lori Scholl is the founder and managing member of Eagle Pipe and Mechanical in Port Ludlow, Washington. She has a really unique journey to owning an HVAC company. She started off in McDonald's, being a member of the crew there. She climbed the corporate ladder, and she ended up building a $10 million McDonald's franchise, which she later sold. In 2012, she launched two Pandora jewelry stores in Idaho and Utah, and since May of 2019, she has been focused on the growth and development of Eagle Pipe and Mechanical, and she's become a real leader in our industry. I'm so impressed with Lori and her activities in charity and our industry. She has been a big supporter of the Ronald McDonald House, as am I. What a great charity that is. She is on the board of the East Jefferson County Habitat for Humanity, another great organization. She's vice president of Women in HVACR. She is the mentor for Service Nation's very active advisory board for women, informally known as AB80. She was the recipient of the Women of Influence Award from the New York Business Journal. And last year, she was named Woman of the Year for our industry. So really impressive stuff. This is our second interview with Lori. Our first was episode 68. In that episode, Lori told us all about her career previous to starting Eagle and her reasons for starting Eagle. So we're not going to revisit all that today. And that means you should listen to episode 68 because you'll get more background information and because it's really interesting and very informative. Personally, I will always take any opportunity to listen to someone as smart and successful as Lori Scholl. So Lori, welcome to Profiles in Prosperity.
David, thank you so much for having me. And wow, that's quite the introduction. I think I'm more impressed with you reading everything. I'm like, who is that person? That's awesome. Thank you so much for that.
Well, you are an impressive person. It's a pleasure to have you here. So first, congratulations on being named Woman of the Year. That was really well-deserved and very impressive.
I have to tell you, it was a shock. And people were asking me that question, like, why would you have been shocked? Well, it was presented at Women in HVACR at our event. And so I was totally taken off guard. And it was interesting because folks at my table, as Matt Michelle was reading through different things, they were looking around. They're like, who could that be? Who could that be? I'm like, I'm not sure. That person won it last year. I'm not sure. The minute Matt said a serial entrepreneur, I went, oh my God, I think he's talking about me. So I was so honored, and what a great award. It's been a lot of fun having the recognition and just really humbled by the fact that I've been in this industry 4 years that I would be considered for it.
That is amazing and really well-deserved too. So again, congratulations on that. So catch us up on Eagle Mechanical. We interviewed you last in 2020. What's happened since then?
So we've been on quite a growth spurt. My official corporate name is Eagle Pipe and Mechanical. And one of the things that Service Nation Alliance pointed out, they said, hey, do you think everybody knows what mechanical is? I'm like, you're right. And I had even one of my technicians. So we did a DBA. It's Eagle Pipe Heating and Air. And so that was one little tweak that we made. And I think it made quite a bit of difference in terms of customers understanding what we really do. But we have spent the last 2.5 years, it's not even, you know, we just started first quarter of 2023, but spent the last 2 years, and we've been on quite a growth spurt. We've grown 3 times the size from 2020 to where we ended up 2022 and how we're projected for 2023. You know, we added a couple million dollars, and that is always a challenge, not only from adding more trucks and a larger fleet, another install crew, but also employees. And so that is one thing that we're constantly focusing on. You know, we went from like 7 employees up to 16, and we have 2 or 3 more in the pipeline now that we think we'll be adding in the next 30 to 60 days. So very excited about that.
Wow, congratulations. That's incredible. What great growth. By the way, I really do like the change of the name. I've always wondered what consumers think when they hear mechanical. I think they think about somebody working on their car. So, good move. So what's up for Eagle Pipe Heating and Air for the next few years?
We have gone ahead. We've had a really strong marketing plan. We work with Lemon Seed Marketing, and they have done a great job in helping us not only look towards the future, but on a weekly, biweekly basis, we'll have a meeting to stay on track, a lot more advertising. We are not in a market where TV would even be affordable for us, and we're not quite there yet at that growth level. So huge marketing plan. We've added additional vehicles. After everybody came out of COVID, trucks were really hard to get. Yeah. I was able to source quite a few. So we've been able to not only acquire vehicles, but get them branded and wrapped and really kind of push that. Over the course of time, we started doing a lot more home shows, and that has been tremendous for us because I'm in a much smaller community. We're based out of Washington, and we're across from Seattle. We do work in Seattle, but most of our work is on the Olympic Peninsula. So when we do a home show, it's a much smaller drawing. And so we have found that that has been a great source for us to kind of move things forward. But my larger vision is, I have always said, I was able to develop a $10 million company. Why can't I do that again? So we hope to certainly take over that not only dollar amount. I think we can go well beyond that. We have a target goal in the next 5 years, closer to 15 million. And so for us, that's a large, large jump. But that's what we have on our radar. So wow. As we look at that, as we look at that dollar growth, then we also need to add different parts of our business. So we started out doing a lot of gas piping. We still do a lot of gas piping. In fact, we had a phenomenal year last year with adding probably an additional $1 million in gas piping. We want to add another $1.6 million this year in gas piping, but that's not going to get us where we need to go. We are really working hard with not only our service on residential, looking at some of the commercial contracts we have out there. We picked up quite a bit, and new construction is not my favorite, but if we can make it profitable, we can kind of sprinkle it in to some of our residential work. So we just signed a contract yesterday. I did for like 36 apartments, and those things help us launch quite a bit more, not only on the sales side, but more profitable work. As long as we can make new construction profitable, it'll be worthwhile. We have a gentleman that we're looking to acquire here in the next probably 2 to 3 weeks. He hasn't quite signed the contract yet, but we think we have him pretty well locked in. And in our state, you have to have an electrical admin, which is a challenge in some cases. A lot of owners are electrical admins. At my age and at the time I've been in this industry, I don't think I want to go back and get my license on that. So I don't know about that. So we're willing to find that right person. And if he comes on board, then we can set up more of our electrical division. We currently are advertising for plumbers. So I think by us adding electrical and plumbing, in addition to our HVAC, that is going to push us forward on our growth. At the end of the day, it's all about our people. So we've been working really hard on building a strong culture with our folks. And it's a challenge day to day. I'm requiring my folks to make sure that we're at least having how many interviews a week just to keep that applicant flow and trying to be really unique with ways of targeting different avenues, not just the, you know, headhunters and the recruiting. We use a lot of our S&A partners in terms of recruiting companies that they have us up on so many different websites and just social media, but we're literally knocking on doors. We're out there, we're talking to people, just trying to bring awareness. And I think some of the other work that I do with different advisory boards, whether it's Habitat or the Builders Association, that also helps us look at putting more folks into not only our company, but into the trades in general.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that being a good source of recruiting for you as well. So you guys are basically planning on owning the whole house, aren't you? You've got heating and air conditioning, and then you're adding plumbing and electrical. So it will be a one call for anything in your house sort of situation.
That's always been the goal. But when you launch a new company and you kind of have to find what your strength is, and that's what we did. It's like we started out really strong with gas piping. We've always had gas piping, but gas piping is not going to get me to where I need to go. It's a great division to add on to the company. But nowadays, with all the different laws and requirements, and even in downtown Seattle, they're not allowing you to run gas piping to any of your, you know, new projects, new homes, residents. So we've been actually doing some work outside of the state because there's been a huge need. So we kind of kept that going. And really, from my time with Service Nation Alliance, learned the fact that I need to be getting more of my maintenance contracts and residential replacements. I love my replacements because I know I'm going to get paid that day. Just like when I signed that contract yesterday on these 36 apartments, I'm like, wow, you know, we had to strategically figure out when we could start the project, how much we could ask up front, and I'm requiring 50%. And then knowing that that money would have to last me for labor and everything else from a May 1st start, not getting paid until June 10th. There's just no other way to do it. And so trying to be very strategic with those different avenues. But yeah, I'm looking forward to kind of growing each of those, and we'll start out very small. But that's okay. We can get licensed. We can get bonded. We can get insured. None of those are issues. Those business issues, we can get it wired. It'll be getting the right people. And then, of course, policies, procedures, and efficiencies. I mean, I work on efficiencies every day now with my crew, because that tends to be some of the things that'll make you a lot less profitable. And that's not where we need to be.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you about your involvement in the industry. You're a mentor for AB80, the Service Nation Advisory Board for Women, and we get a lot of compliments about AB80. And what makes it unique, and what do you like about it?
So I think not only is it just the connections, we had a phenomenal call this morning. We probably had about 34 of our members. And when I say members, these are a group of folks that are not just owners and major principals in those businesses. This could be your CSR. This could be your dispatcher. We don't have a lot of technicians because, of course, you know, technicians are about 2% of our industry's workforce, and we're always looking to, you know, find more of them. But these are the folks, the ladies that really are running a lot of these companies. It's a lot of, when I say back office, they're in the background. The owner might be out there maybe doing some of the sales calls or running the business or attending different things, whether it's in the community. These are the folks that day in and day out, they're making sure those businesses are running. So I love connecting with them. The amount of information sharing, the ideas, all someone has to do is drop an email saying, hey, whether I have a question about this or I'm looking for an answer, next thing you'll know, there'll be four or five folks that'll automatically start that conversation. And then what we try to do on a monthly basis, do a mastermind call. So if something hasn't been answered during that course of time and one of our members needs to find out more information, one, they can always email, call, and I always feel like I'm that conduit to make sure that I can find that answer for them, but they can ask it in the group. And so I just love working with this group of smart women that are day to day. They have so much more experience than I do that I learn from them every time we have a meeting. So that's what I love about that group. And I think this morning we're talking about we need to have maybe a new title and call them the Women of Service Nation Alliance. That way we won't interfere with all the other advisory board groups. So we're kicking around some ideas there.
That's a good idea. It is different than the other advisory boards. It has a lot more members on it. And my gosh, it is such an active group of people too. As you said, you post a question and get a ton of answers back right away. It's incredible.
And I think with this group, there are so many men, and it's not like we're saying, oh, men can't join. We want everyone to feel very comfortable. We have a lot of men that they sit in the background as this advisory board 80 is taking place. And I hear it all the time. It's like, yeah, my owner's sitting behind me. And it's like, that's fine. We're just sharing of information in the trade. So it's not like it's just exclusive. We like to make sure our ladies have the opportunity that there's no dumb question. You can ask us anything. Colleen Keyworth does a phenomenal presentation on HVAC 101. And sometimes with new members, we like to kick that one off and bring it around once a year so that everybody is on the same page with what's going on and happening in the HVAC industry.
Yeah, that's great. Sort of a follow-up in a way. Talk a bit about women in HVACR. You're the vice president, and I think that means you'll be president next year. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about women in HVACR, and what are some of the goals and projects for you guys?
Okay. So if anybody wants to go to our website, it's, you know, Women in HVACR, but we're really existing to improve the lives of our members. And we're providing professional avenues to connect with. And the reason why this group is so important is it's not just contractors, it's suppliers, it's distributors, it's anyone in our industry that is involved with HVAC and refrigeration also. But it is such a strong group. And I love the balance of the small business, the family business, plus also the corporate women that work in this, because having worked in a corporation before for many, many years, I kind of miss that, you know, leading edge and latest and greatest, because of course they have to keep up with this industry. That's their job. That's their role. So it's kind of fun to see what they can bring to the table. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to make sure that women are growing their careers in this industry. So we're very strong on mentorship. We have like 225 folks that are in this program. I myself mentor at least three women, and we set up whether it's weekly, monthly calls, and we have a schedule, a structure. So it's not just like, hey, how was your week? It's very devoted to what we can do to help them move their careers forward or their businesses. I'm working with a woman right now who has an amazing professional background outside of the HVAC industry. Her and her husband own a company. And when I first was mentored up with her, I thought, my gosh, what can I add to her? She's already very much a professional and legal background and everything else. Well, some of it was just working through with her team and balancing of her life. And sometimes it's just a sounding board that we can help direct them. So our goals really this year, we have a conference coming up in Jacksonville. That's always a great kickoff to get together with our members. Last year, we were sold out. We had over 400. We're going to anticipate closer to 500 this year. We'll have some great speakers. But what we really want to focus in on is the educational piece. We're going to start taking some of, we're going to call them road shows. And some of our distributors and suppliers, you know, they have great facilities everywhere. If we go to Live Oak in North Carolina, or if we go to Lennox or Goodman or some of the other large companies, they have great training rooms. What we're going to try to do is pull from that area, not only educators, folks in this industry, trade schools, that we can have them come in to one of these amazing facilities and kind of host, and we're going to call it a roadshow, what Women in HVACR is all about, what we can do to help further our message within the industry. And it's not just about signing up new members, it's how can we be of help and service to women in the trade. So I'm kind of excited for that. Our current president, Marcia Christensen, this has kind of been one of her dreams that we would like to go towards. And that's what we're working on this year. We took a little bit different approach. Women in HVACR, they've been in existence for over 21 years. Ruth King founded this organization with some other ladies, and it's very, very strong. It's one of the leading organizations. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to make sure that we have sustainability. So it's not just a group of folks that are getting together. We are putting together a lot of structure. And over the years, they've done a phenomenal job. Marsh and I are trying to both add in a little bit more structure, more documentation, so that when Marsha is done with her term at the end of the year and I step up into 2024, we will actually have, I almost want to call it like a playbook, where we will have everything documented for all of our committees, all of our organizations that we deal with, so that future women can go ahead and just keep launching this to a much higher level.
Fantastic. So about how many roadshows will you guys be doing this year?
We're planning probably around 6 or 7, and we will find out more. We're putting together some of those events now, and we don't have them all on our calendar yet, but we'll be putting them on a calendar, and there'll be announcements that will be sent out to all of our members so that if you're in the area, you can stop by and join us. One of the things that also makes that group very successful is the amount of volunteers. And we see that every year when we put on a conference, how we call in our tribe and say, hey, we'll need some help with X, Y, and Z. And man, ladies come out in force. And they also will work with us and help us just kind of elevate the entire organization.
And if somebody wanted to register for the Jacksonville conference, how would they do that?
It will be more of like a stay tuned. We don't have registration up yet. We are in the process. We've secured the location. We're doing a site visit. We're putting together our theme. It will go live on our website. And then once it goes live on our website, there'll be a registration link. So probably more to follow on that. I don't have an actual date it'll go live, but we're looking at November 5th through the 8th. So we have a little bit of time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they want to mark those dates, November 5th through the 8th. That kind of gives you a target.
Okay. And then just check on the website and it will be posted there. Good.
Correct.
You have, I think, a unique perspective on women in our industry. You've got these leadership roles with AB80 and Women in HVACR. If you talk to contractors, every contractor will talk about the labor shortage in our industry. And when they're talking about that, specifically, usually they're talking about technicians and plumbers and salespeople. We have this labor shortage, and yet we don't have many women technicians, women plumbers, and women electricians, women in sales. What could a business owner in our industry do to make his or her business more attractive to women to help on this labor shortage?
That's a brilliant question, because after spending some time in Atlanta at ACA, we had a booth there, and I cannot tell you how many men walked up to our booth, Women in HVACR booth, and said, where do I get these women? And it's like, it's so funny. It's like they wanted me to open up a curtain and, you know, like 20 of them would come running out to say, hey, I can be your service rep, or I can be your comfort advisor. So really, there's not one approach. We have to start not only training and developing, whether it's young ladies at a very early age, you know, we talk about getting into schools and junior high and high school. I know one of our campaigns that I see on a national level is, if you can see her, you can be her. It's so true. When yeah. you see women in this industry, it just tends to foster more. To me, as a business owner, I am looking all the time to hire an amazing woman that could be a technician. And I mean, I'll go to like Valvoline and get a oil change for my car, and I'll see a woman working in that industry, and I'm out there trying to recruit her, thinking if she can do that as a mechanic, she absolutely could do this, and how we could move her forward. But we have to approach it from all different levels. So if you're a male or a female business owner, you need to see who's out there, who's in your community. It's a constant awareness of, how can I make sure I communicate with schools and churches and the community? When I did the home show probably about 3 weekends ago, the number of folks that walked up and said, I understand this is 100% woman-owned business. I was shocked, because we don't run around just saying, hey, we've done some marketing and things with it. But that's important to folks. And I think the more we can make sure that we keep that front and center, it's an awareness. I meet people all the time. What do? I go through everything of how we are being very, very successful. I'm introducing a Young Leaders Award for a chamber event on Saturday night. They've asked me to step up, do this introduction. My 2 minutes of fame will be talking through that this is a great road for people to take in the trades. So anytime you can get in front of anybody explaining how amazing this career path can be for women, that all helps. We have to train. We have to develop. We have to be the ones that can move them forward and joining things like Women in HVACR. You know, for $149 membership, there's all that networking ability. WIP is another one, Women in Plumbing and Piping. They follow through exactly what we're trying to accomplish with Women in HVACR. They're empowering women to succeed through networking opportunities and education. They're also a nonprofit organization, and I'm very pleased to serve on that board with Angie Snow and a couple other amazing women in plumbing. So we're all trying to find folks that we can mentor and try to move forward in this industry.
It's really important for everybody to be an ambassador for our industry, isn't it? And make sure people know that we're an open industry, that anyone who's willing to work hard can be a success in this industry. It's a great industry and people just don't know about it for the most part.
Very true.
You are active in so many things, Sure Business, AB80, Women in HVACR, Habitat for Humanity, Ronald McDonald House. What was the one you just named?
Women in Plumbing and Piping. And that's a new organization that started in November. And we are really starting to get this launched and some amazing women behind it. And we're kind of help putting it together right now. Angie Snow and I have worked with Women in HVACR, and Angie has rolled off the board, but we are then taking all of our learnings and, you know, trying to help move them also with our experience, whether it's Lady Titans and, you know, some of the other groups. And I think it's going to be a compliment. It's not that we see it as, okay, you have Women in HVACR and Women in Plumbing and Piping, as we're not in competition. We're going to work synchrony together. You know, we might have a table at a trade show where we're representing both of them, that type of thing. So
yeah,
we're kind of exploring. We're exploring that, and it'll be a lot of fun, especially since I want to be adding a lot more plumbing. So, you know, there's a little bit of a goal here.
Good. Well, so what I wanted to ask you, you're active in all these organizations, and on top of that, you're running a business with incredible growth. How do you find the time to get so involved in these other organizations?
So I always think what's important gets done. And I remember many, many years ago, my grandfather, he would have been 100, and he passed like a couple days short of his birthday. And it's been quite a few years. But what he always said to me is, if you want to get something done, give it to the busiest person. And I said, oh, that does make sense, because somehow we have to manage our time. If you really enjoy not only the people and the organizations, you find the time. Like, I find myself once in a while, I get double booked and I'm like, oh, I should be at this. And then I have to make a choice. So sometimes I have to make that choice. And I also have to say no. I had the president of our local chapter of Habitat asked me to take on something else. And I said, I'm so sorry. I do not have the bandwidth at this point. So to me, it's what's important. AB80, Women in HVACR, they are part of, I call it my work family. It's very important for me to stay engaged, involved, and give back to that community, because whenever I need something, they come to my rescue and help me. Habitat, Ronald McDonald House's, those are those heartstrings. You know, they pull at you to say, how can we help? How can we be of service? And just learning, being on different boards, being on executive boards, it just totally makes you appreciate the work and the effort that people put forth to move communities forward. And so I just find that it fills me. It makes me a better person doing all this stuff. And it's not even about recognition, because I could sit behind the curtain and be as helpful and be as successful. But sometimes they need a spokesperson. Sometimes they need somebody out there leading the charge. And so A lot of times that falls on me, and I'm happy to do it.
Yeah, and you're good at it.
Oh, thank you.
Lori, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. This is great. I'm so excited for what's happened with your company and the growth that you've seen and the growth that you're planning. That is really exciting stuff. And then thank you for all you do for the industry. I mean, it's just fantastic, all the different groups that you're in and the impact that you've made in such a short period of time being in our industry. So thanks for all of that.
You're so welcome. I appreciate the time today. Thank you.
We're always looking for good ideas and interviews for our podcast. If you have an idea or maybe you think you should be interviewed, just shoot an email to profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. That's profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. If you think what we're doing has any value, it would be very helpful if you would give us a great rating on iTunes. Thanks for your support. Hope to see you again soon. Bye.